I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to hear the word of God again. We ask, Lord, that you will open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. Thank you for the opportunity, and we pray that you will teach us. We pray for utterance in the Holy Spirit. We pray for remembrance. We pray for understanding. And we pray especially for revelation in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. And everybody says, amen.
Amen.
Now, we've been sharing about faith, but before I go into that, I want to wish everybody, every father out there, happy Father's Day. And want to thank God for your lives as fathers. And in our church, we really do respect fatherhood, and we celebrate it all the time because we understand the importance of fathers in the times in which we live. You know, fatherhood is not just a person. When we're celebrating Father's Day, we're not just talking about a person. You know, fatherhood is an influence. It's a specific impact that a person has on another person. And of course, the one from whom it flows is the one we call father, and that's the one we celebrate. We celebrate him because he has become the source of that influence. But fatherhood is a very important influence that everybody needs. Everyone needs to have that. And that is why God has given us. God himself introduces himself to us as our heavenly father, right? He's our heavenly father. God could just be our God, but he chooses not just to be our God, but to be also our father. And that's a very important attribute of God. And we must learn to know him as our father and to relate with him as such, okay? So everyone needs a father, and everyone needs that influence. It is a very important influence to have. But yesterday, I heard something, I mean, some statistics that shocked me. I heard that in the 1960s, they said that 23% of families were without, you know, a present father, like a father, or what they call father absence. Father absence was at the 23% among, you know, black families, they said. This was in 1960 or in the 1960s, right? Now, back then, they thought that was very bad because that meant like one out of every four or so or five, yeah, four families, you know, didn't have a father present or living with them. And they thought that was bad, you see. But today, they say that among black families, the father absence level is at 70%. That means three out of four people don't have a reliable source. Very serious. And they say that that makes a person, like a person who doesn't, is nine times more likely to end up in prison. He's six times more likely to drop out of school. and he's 12 times more likely to live in poverty. Can you imagine that? So you see, it's not having enough education, you know, poverty, you know, in some kind of trouble that makes you find yourself in jail. Do you see? So fathers are very important. If the statistics is true, if what they are saying is true, and I actually Googled this morning, I just put in, you can try, I just asked Google, effect of father absence on sons. And the first thing that came up, it said truancy and poor academic performance. It says dropouts are fatherless. And fatherless children have more trouble academically, scoring poorly on tests of reading, mathematics, and thinking skills. Do you see? Thinking skills. It says children from father-absent homes are more likely to play truant from school and more likely to be excluded. You know, this is all just from Google. I just Googled it and it was Google things were just coming and talking and saying a whole lot of things, right? Another one says, it says, researchers have found that fatherless kids have a higher risk of negative outcomes, including poverty, behavioral problems, and lower educational success. The emotional impact of an absentee dad can be long-lasting and has the potential to interfere with healthy relationships in adulthood. You get it? So you realize when we're talking about fatherhood, we're talking about a serious thing. A father is a very important element or unit in a home. He's the one that brings it all together. A father brings all the different units that of a family, the different pieces, the mother, the children, and so on, brings them together. That's the father. The father either brings them together under one roof or brings them together under one last name. You know, even where you have families where sometimes the father has multiple children with other people and so on, he still brings them together in a way by giving them one name or something like that. And you see that that becomes the basis for which they relate. When you don't have a father in the situation, it's like having a book whose leaves are falling out because there's no binding agent. Do you see? The binder is broken. And when you have the binder that's broken, you still have the leaves, but they are everywhere. And sometimes page one is followed by page 12, it's followed by page 7, and then you come to page 3 after that. I mean, the whole thing is a mess because you don't have that person that brings it all together. So when God has blessed you to be a father, you need to sit up and take that responsibility seriously and to understand that a whole lot has been committed to you. You can't just take off and leave. You know, there are people whose lives and the outcomes of their lives depend on you, and you need to take that responsibility and be there. Now, there are some people who may not have a biological father present in your life, but that's not the end of it. You see, we are talking about an influence, and if we can get it biologically, that is the first option, and it's the best option, and it's great. But many times, as life would have it, somehow you wind up not then, even in that situation, you will find that God always provides for people someone to be that father to them. Either your pastor or your prophet or whoever it is, God gives you somebody to play that role in your life. You see, a father, fatherhood is like hair. It's like hair. You know, if it's biological, it's the best and it's the first choice. You get it. But your hair does not have to be your own biological hair. You get it. You can have work and sometimes make you look even better than the biological one. You get it.
Wow.
Do not look down on yourself just because you don't have a biological father. If you don't have a biological father, it's just one out. But there are so many other replacements and substitutes that God gives you just to supply that influence. You need that influence. You need to call somebody my father. You need to call someone my dad. You need to have someone through whom God will supply that influence in your life. And it is guaranteed, even secularly, they're saying, I'm telling you what I read to you is from Google. You just Google that and you see all the things. Even Google says that, no, you need a father. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So if Google is saying it, then you can imagine what the Bible also says. The Bible said it long before Google found it. You see? So let's take fatherliness, let's take fatherhood seriously, and let's respect it. And let's honor it all the time. And I believe God will bless you. God will bless you to be a father yourself, and God will bless the fathers in your life. Sometimes people are confused because, you know, fatherhood is often created, it sort of emanates from being a husband. If things are working as they should, you know, you become a husband, then fatherhood follows from that. And many times when the role of being a husband fails, do you see, then it has the effect of terminating the fatherhood also. And that's how many people end up becoming single mothers, because they would not sometimes, either the father takes off and goes, or in some cases, there are fathers who have been prevented from being fathers or supplying that fatherly influence to their children. And I'll say to such people, don't do that. Don't extend the failure of a marriage into the fatherhood role. It need not be so. They are two different things. The fact that you are not a good husband does not automatically make you a bad father. Do you see what I'm saying? You may fail at marriage, but you can succeed at fatherhood. You can be a good father to your children, even though you didn't make such a great husband. You see, so don't let that discourage you. And if you're a wife or you're a mother of children whose father is alive, try to keep the father in their lives, because they need him. They need him. Their lives go way beyond your marriage that has gone into difficulty. You see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying? See? Things, and we don't have to lose both. If we have lost one, let that be, but let's try to gain the other. Let's salvage the other. And it takes humility. It takes humility. It takes forgiveness. It takes so many of those Christian virtues to reach fatherhood, to keep it benefiting, especially the children. All right. So that's what I have to say about fathers and to fathers this morning. And God bless fathers who have been courageous. Pregnancy is for me, you know.
Amen.
Fathers who didn't dodge and who didn't say, what? You said what? You're pregnant? By who? Me? No. All these type of tricks that we play sometimes, all able to own up boldly. Congratulations on Father's Day, and God bless you, and may God give you everything it takes to be a good father to your children that he has given you. And those of somebody like that, get yourself a father. Submit yourself to someone. Call someone your dad. And when you say the person is your dad, let him be your dad. Don't say dad and then it's something else. See, one day Jesus told some people, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not as I say? You get it? Because it has implications. You know, Jesus didn't beg anybody to call him Lord, but as they were calling him Lord, then he was expecting a certain relationship, you know, because the names are different for a reason. So when you call someone father, then great, it has implications. And otherwise, you will not benefit. The real benefit is in the implications. It's in the fact that he can say, sit, and you sit. It's in the fact that he can say, come, and you come. He can say, go. He can say, do. If you will not listen to someone, then don't call him your father. You know, call him Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck or something like that. But don't call him father, because if you call him father, then it must have implications that follow. Amen. So God bless you. At the end of the service, we'll pray for all the fathers and before we close. Amen.
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 Now, can I move on to my message on faith?
Yes.
Now?
Preach.
Yes.
Preach. So today I'm continuing on the message on faith, and the message on faith. Actually, let me just pray for you now. Let me, while the grace for fatherhood is around, let me just on the screen so I can see you, and I'll pray for you, all fathers. All of you who have turned off your cameras, I beseech you by the mercies of turn on your cameras so I can also see you. Do you see? But I also need to see you. You see what I'm saying? So please turn on your camera wherever you are so I can see your face and so I can know who I'm preaching to. You know. All right. Okay. So God bless you. Let's pray. Father, I pray and thank you for all the fathers in the service today, as well as other fathers who belong to this family. I pray, Lord, and thank you for honoring them with the grace and gift of fatherhood. Thank you for allowing us to share in a title that is applied to someone as great as you, that you are called Father and we are also called Father. Lord, we don't even deserve it. We fall too far short of the standards and of who we are supposed to be as fathers. But we thank you for the privilege. And we know, Lord, that you gave us that privilege because it is your intention to help us and to flow through us to fulfill our duties and our roles as fathers. May we not let you down. May we not be an embarrassment to you in the name of Jesus. I pray that every father, every male, Lord, on this call and in this service, Father, will begin to receive from you right now grace for fatherhood, grace to be a father to someone, grace to speak into the lives of people, grace to be a blessing to people in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for the spirit of responsibility. I pray for the ability to provide. I pray for wisdom, for guidance, for direction, the courage to lead. I pray, Lord, that you will bless us with all these gifts and graces, that we will not be poor examples of fathers, but will be good examples representing what fatherhood is about. In the name of Jesus, I pray for good health for these fathers. I pray for good jobs for these fathers. I pray that they will all never lack in the name of Jesus. Deliver us from poverty in Jesus' name. Let there be no father among us who is poor. No father among us who is not able to take care of him. Among us who is not a blessing, who is not able to give gifts, who is not able to pay bills, who is not able to pay fees, who is not able to be there for his children in the name of Jesus Christ. Let that not be the case, Lord. But I pray that for every father in the service today, every father among us, everyone who is to become a father, I pray that you will place them on the path of success and blessing. May their lives be blessed by God in Jesus' name. And may they always have to give, always have to supply, always have to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Lord, We will never be an embarrassment to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your blessing. And everybody says, amen.
Amen.
Bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Amen. All right. So I'm continuing, and it's going to be a short message today. And I'm sharing from, we've been talking about faith secrets, and secret number 33 is the one we're sharing today. And the title is Faith Giants Are Created by Hearing. Faith giants are created by hearing. In other words, how you can become a giant in faith. How you can become a giant in faith is how you can be strong in faith. Because giants represent strength. When someone is a giant, giants are symbols of strength. I think the most popular giant we know about is Goliath, and Goliath is described as a giant in the Bible because he was huge, he was big and a towering figure compared to David, right? So David killing Goliath is news. That is why it makes the headlines. It's not just a simple fight between two guys, but it's between David and a giant. That means a tower of strength. And the miracle in that story is how an ordinary person is able to overcome such a tower of strength. So when we talk about being a giant in faith, we're talking about someone who has very strong faith. How can you have strong faith? That's the subject of our message today. Now, why is it important for your faith to be strong? Your faith needs to be strong because of the verse we've been reading since we started this two Sundays ago. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 4, the Bible says, or even before that, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we can read that one first. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him, right? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So it means faith is the element in your relationship with God that makes you please him, and without faith, you cannot please him. Now that means the more faith you have, the more pleasing you will be to the Lord. The more things you believe, the more things you do with faith, the more you live by faith, the more pleasing you are to God, right? So when you are a giant of faith, it means you are strong in faith. It means you have a lot of faith. And that means it puts you in a much better position to be pleasing to God because of your faith. Your faith will yield, for example, obedience, you see. And if your faith is converted, or it converts into obedience, if your faith equals your obedience, then you will find that you will please God most of the time, because having a lot of faith will make you more obedient more times. And the more obedient you are, the more you will tend to please the Lord. So that's one of them. The other one is 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. That one says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, right? So it says, whatever is born of God overcometh. right? Whatever is born of God overcometh. Now, you can't speak of overcoming unless there's an obstacle, unless there's something that is obstructing your way or obstructing your path. And life is full of such things. Life is full of difficulties, insurmountable challenges, difficult circumstances, unexpected obstructions in our pathways. And that's just life, how life is. And the Bible says anyone or anything that is born of God overcomes such things. That means there's that we are born to overcome. We are born to have victory over such things. No matter what the challenge is in your life, you are designed to overcome. Whether they are marital difficulties, whether they are financial difficulties, whether they are other level relationship issues, you know, level one, level two, level three, all the way to level 20 or level 100 difficulties in relationship, we are supposed to be able to overcome. Whatever is born of God will overcome. Whether it is negative personal habits, we are supposed to be able to overcome. That means if you're a child of God, you're supposed to be able to overcome immorality, overcome fornication, overcome drug habits, overcome drinking, overcome anything that is negative, especially the things that sink your Christian life, you know, the things that make you struggle with the faith. We are supposed to overcome all these things, and we can overcome them by the grace of God. Then that same verse is showing us the element that overcomes those things. You know, what is it about a person that is born of God that overcomes? What is the overcoming element? You know, and it says our faith is the overcoming element. Our faith is the overcoming element. That means then the more faith you have, the more of an overcomer you are. Do you see? Because if faith is what is used to overcome, then more faith will enable you overcome more things. More faith will enable you overcome bigger things, stronger things, heavier weights. You'll be able to overcome bigger issues. If your faith is small, you overcome some things, but you'll find there are other things that you can't overcome. It's like strength. Your faith is your strength. That's the overcoming element. Do you see? Now, when robbers and thieves are breaking into people's homes, now most robbers and thieves are armed, you know, and you notice that whatever they are armed with becomes the source of their strength. That's the overcoming element, you know. And so you see sometimes a very small thief overcoming a big person, and he's able to collect his wallet because it's not just about his size. It's his size plus his gun, do you see? And the gun is the overcoming element. And if you remove the gun, take the gun out of the equation, you will see that he will not, or his robbery will not be successful at all, you see. So it's the same thing, that our faith, it is you plus the faith. You are born of God. That positions you for overcoming. But now the overcoming element, you need to be rich in it in order to overcome. And so the more of that you have, the bigger your overcoming power. Your faith equals your overcoming power, and more faith equals more overcoming, and more overcoming means more victories, and more victories equals a much more enjoyable and interesting Christian life. A defeated Christian life is one that has lost too many battles. And so at a point, you don't even find it worth continuing the Christian life. Lose everything. You lose every fight. You lose every challenge. And that's not good. That's not God's plan for your Christian life. Okay. So we need to learn how we can grow our faith, how we can be strong, how we can add to our faith. It's good to know that the faith that you have is not all the faith you can have. In other words, your faith is designed to grow. The faith that we have today is not the faith that God expects us to have forever. Faith is like a little plant. It can grow, it can become bigger, it can flourish, or it can wither. It can also just dry out slowly and eventually cease to exist altogether. Okay? So it's important for us to know how and what faith lives on and how faith develops. Okay? Now, faith is an unstoppable force, and you need as much of it as you can get. Of course, if this is the thing that brings me victory, then I need as much of it as I can get, because the more of it I have, the more victories I can have, and the more victories in more areas of my life I can have. Okay? Now, faith rises and falls depending on the amount of hearing you do. Now, this verse in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 is a verse that gives us clearly the key to increasing or developing strong faith. It says, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, it's good to know that faith is mobile. You know, faith moves. Faith is not static. It doesn't stay. It's not like a fixed measure, and that's all you get. You know, the Bible does say that God has given to everyone a measure of faith. Yes. So God may start you off with a small capital, a capital base of faith, which you are supposed to develop and work with and increase and multiply, right? So it says faith cometh. It cometh. Faith can come. You can have more faith. Sometimes you feel like you don't have faith. Sometimes you feel like your faith is not enough. But thank God that your faith can grow. It says faith can come to you. Faith that doesn't exist today as I'm speaking can come later on. You can have faith. Your faith can increase, right? And the verse is showing us how or what makes faith increase. What is the engine that powers or drives or fuels faith? How does faith grow? It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you have another version, you can share it with us so we can read it from other versions and see how it sounds. Okay. Do you have NASB or NLT or something? Just share one of those with us so we can see. Faith. It says, yes. It says, yet faith comes. This is the NLT. Yet faith comes from listening to this message of good news. The good news about Christ. This message of good news, the good news about Christ. So faith comes from listening to messages, isn't it? It comes from listening to a message. You have to listen to messages for your faith to grow. So it couldn't be simpler than that. Do you have another one yet? You have yet another version, NASB maybe? If you do. If you don't, we'll also just move on by faith. Amen. Right? This one says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Right? So your faith rises and falls depending on the amount of hearing that you do. If this is what increases faith, then your faith will grow depending on how it interacts with the Word of God. Faith is like a little plant. I saw that my wife has a little plant in the kitchen, you know. Now, these little plants have to be watered all the time. You have to pour water on them. When you pour water on them, you know, you start to see the effect. You watch it and you can see that it's beginning to flourish. You know, the leaves straighten out, the stem is firmer, and it's looking up. Sometimes you see it bending. But you can see there's life in the plant. Now, when you forget it for some days and you leave it, then you come back and the same plant is behaving like this, you know, and it's just going down, and it's just going down. And all that is lacking is water. It's not being watered, do you see? And your faith has that same nature. Your faith doesn't just, you don't just have faith. No, your faith needs to be supplied, and your faith feeds on the Word of God. God has given us a clear key to acquiring more of this unstoppable force. If you are interested in overcoming this world, if you are interested in overcoming the challenges and the difficulties that beset us day after day in this life, because there's no one today who is exempt from the challenges. It is one challenge after the other. You overcome one thing and the next thing shows up. You win one battle and the next battle almost immediately sets itself up against you. So that is what life is. It's you coming through one battle after the other. Just back. They can be overcome. That's number one. Amen. And number two is that you are the overcoming type. Because according to 1 John 5:4, whatever is born of God overcometh. And if you're born of God, you will overcome. You are the overcoming type. You are the overcoming type. You can't overcome.
Amen.
But you need the element. You need the element. You're like a soldier who is fighting without his ammunition or without his gun when you venture into this battle without faith, right? Can grow. And it says, in today's world, it is even more possible to hear the Word of God whenever you want to, right? That means the opportunities for growing your faith are multiplied today more than ever before. You know, there are more opportunities for multiplying your faith. And the world has changed like that. The world has changed like that. Today we can make phone calls for free. I mean, if you have told somebody a few years ago that one day phone calls will be free, they wouldn't have believed it, that you could talk to anyone anywhere for as long as you want. You would even see them and it's all for free. You know, they wouldn't have believed it. But the world has changed like that. You see, some time ago, the Word of God was not so available. It wasn't so available. But today, the Word of God is available in abundance and for free. And in our church in particular, the Word of God is so abundantly available that it is your fault if you are starving in faith. If your faith is lean, you know, if your faith has lost weight, then you have applied your weight loss program to a wrong part of you. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
The wrong part of you is losing the weight, you know. Yeah. You need to get on a fattening course for your faith. Hallelujah. Amen. And our church, I tell you, our church offers more opportunity than anyone or any church I know about, do you see, for growing your faith and supplying yourself with the nutrients you need to grow your faith. We have the podcast. You know, this is the second preaching. If you're in our church, this is the second preaching that we've heard this morning. This one I'm preaching, this one I'm doing is the second one. Right after me, you know, there will be another one. And later in the day, there may be another one as well. You know, so on Sunday alone, we have about three to four different opportunities just to hear the word of God. Do you see? So if your faith is starving, I want you to know you are doing something wrong and you have yourself to blame. Do you see? There is no need to be spiritually diabetic in this church. Do you see? When people are diabetic, what it means is that their body does not have as much sugar or is not able to utilize as much sugar, do you see, as it ought to, even though the sugar is also in abundance. You see what I'm saying? So you are drowning in sugar and yet you are dying from the shortage of sugar. Are you getting it? And yes. That's how it is. And so if you are like that in our church, then you're not doing the right thing. You are not following like you should. That's why we keep advertising. Last time we were telling you about the DHMM catalog of messages, you know, which is every message that our pastor has ever preached. Every message that our pastor has ever preached. Sometimes I feel that God gave man the wisdom for capturing messages, for recording for this purpose. You know, just the main purpose is so we can carry on listening. We can record the word of God and repeat it at will. Repeat it when we want it, when we need it. You see, it may be used for other things like spying on people and catching people and so on. But those are side benefits. You get it? Those are side effects. But I think the wisdom of it was given probably first and foremost for holding and freezing the word of God so that it can be available on demand. And that is how it is. So I urge you all today to get into a habit of listening to messages. If you go to YouTube, the messages are there. You go to the podcast, the messages are there. If you invest in a little device, you know, you can store the messages. You can have a hard drive. I used to have a hard drive I would travel with, you know, and it had messages and messages and messages, and I could play the messages at any place and any time. Yes, this is the catalog I'm talking about, the DHMM audio catalog, right? And it has every message. It has messages about marriage. You see, many of us struggle with our marriages, not because we married the wrong person. Do you see? If you buy a car and you haven't learned how to drive it, you can't say you bought the wrong car. Do you see? Yeah. There's a difference. There's a difference between the art of driving and which car did you buy. Do you see? Yeah. Those are two different things. But sometimes people change the car, do you see, and find out they still have the same problem because the problem was not the car. You get it? It's the skills. The skills are really not there. You get it? You need information. You need to learn. And there's preaching about marriage. There's preaching about forgiveness. There's preaching about how you can, even finances, how to organize yourself, how to organize your finances. There's preaching about prayer. There's preaching about faith. There's preaching about the word of God. There's preaching about becoming a shepherd. There's preaching about virtually everything. Everything and anything. I mean, think about a lifetime of preaching. This church is over 30 years old. Can you imagine how much preaching exists in this church? All right? And all of this has been collected together in this one catalog. And the best part of it is it's for free. Do you understand? It's free.
You know? Wow.
And I know that you like free things.
Yes.
From free flyers to
free
anything, free food, anything. You know, yeah, some of you like to eat the free food at Costco. You know, the thing.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Who enjoys those? Who enjoys those? Yeah. That's how I discovered the sauce called sriracha. Do you know sriracha?
Yeah.
The hot sauce.
Yeah.
I went to Costco one afternoon. I was very hungry. And then as I was passing, the lady invited me to come and taste this thing. And she mixed sriracha with some rice in a little cup and she gave it to me. And when I tasted it, man, I thought this was glorious. You know, and immediately I bought about two or so bottles.
Wow.
Wow.
That love affair still continues. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We like free things. The one free thing we have not patronized is the free thing that grows your faith.
Mm.
You should be asking yourself, why don't I have this one free thing? If it was sriracha and rice, I would have been running after it. How comes this one? You get it? We like free things. We like free everything. Now, this is for free. It's been given to help you. It costs money to put them together. And it's a blessing from our pastor to you. And you must take it and utilize it and benefit from it. And it will be a blessing to you. Can I have an amen? We have
amen.
Ugaliso. We have the Bosco. We have the Poimano, right? And then what else? The Makane. The Makane is about the long messages that you just play and which you enjoy, and they just go on and on and on and on and on. Honestly, there is no reason for starvation of your faith in this environment at all. Hallelujah. Now,
amen.
Let me just read the chapter to you and then we'll close. Okay, now, this is from the book. It says, in 1988, as a medical student, I exposed myself to preaching by Kenneth Hagin. I loved listening to his teaching. I was drawn inexorably to his tapes, and I put them on as my companions. My room was never quiet because his preaching would be heard at night. Will be heard night and day. I rarely pray in a silent room. The atmosphere is always regulated by the sound of preaching or singing. Okay. Now, one of the reasons why many of us don't pray much is because we pray in a very silent environment. Because somehow someone told us that silence is righteousness, silence is holiness, you know, and therefore, when you're praying, you should be silent, or the place should be silent, you know. And because of that, we struggle to pray. Do you see? It's very difficult to pray in a very heavy atmosphere. And you need to believe in atmospheres. You need to believe that there is such a thing as an atmosphere that encourages something and an atmosphere that discourages it. You see, there's a reason why you don't go to a nightclub and find bright lights. You know, the whole nightclub is well lit and bright. Well, that's a reason for that, because it doesn't encourage certain things. You see, bright lights doesn't encourage some of the purposes or some of the things that are possible in a nightclub type of situation. First of all, that's why it's called nightclub. It's a club that functions at night. You get it. There's no nightclub that opens at 10 a.m. It's for night things. You get it. Night things, night experiences, things that utilize darkness and, you know, that type of environment, you see. So they create the atmosphere. The light is blue, the light is red, the light is kind of dark. It goes off sometimes and comes back with flashes. Now you see me, now you don't. You're seeing, are you seeing me properly? Are you seeing, what is it? That's the kind of atmosphere there. And that atmosphere is good for some things.
Yeah.
You see, yeah, you can't have atmosphere like it is outside, bright, sunny afternoon, and call it nightclub. No, that's not how it is. You it's see, prayer is also like that. Prayer needs an atmosphere to support it. You need to have the right atmosphere if you're serious about praying. And one of the things that creates a good atmosphere is having a message playing in the background as you are praying. Having a message playing, you may not even be actively listening to it. Do you see? Even the volume could be low, but it creates the atmosphere and surrounds you with an atmosphere that keeps you spiritual. That is very important. You need to believe in demons. You need to believe in evil spirits. You need to believe that there are spirits that take charge of atmospheres. And that is why certain things are possible in certain places, which are not possible in another place. Because the spirits behind that behavior, the spirits that are behind that lifestyle, exist in that place. And they stir up the atmosphere that supports that. Whereas in another place, you may have find some other spirits, but not a certain kind of spirit. And so a certain lifestyle or something is not available there. Do you see? So it's important. Now, I'm reading on. It says, whilst listening to Kenneth Hagin, I learned about demons and how to deal with them. That is what he was preaching about when at a point I felt God was telling me, from today, you can teach. I believed it. I received a word from the Lord and I believed it. My whole life and ministry changed from that word that I believed. Today, I'm teaching the word of God to you through this book. How did I get here? I got here by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. I got here by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Listen, you will get somewhere by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. We all know how people's lives have been affected by the things they have heard. I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about racism and so on in recent times. And people who are racist, you know, are people who have grown up hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And the product is what we see. You get it? It really affects them. It really affects them. What you hear will affect you more than even the reality.
It's true.
Yes, more than the reality. So people who are racist are affected more by what they have heard than the reality of what exists. And I want to say that if you will expose yourself to preaching and start hearing and hearing and hearing, it will affect your life. You know, Bishop is talking about how his whole ministry is based on what he heard. Do you see? And now you can see what God has done through what he heard. He says, your ability to expose yourself to the hearing of the word of God is a master key to your spiritual. Often make the mistake of thinking that faith comes because you hear a message about faith, right? Faith is far bigger than being a topic on a list. Faith is your trust in God. The closer you are to God, the more real he is to you, the more you have faith in God. The closer you are to God, the more real he is to you, and the more faith you have in God. Of course, anything that is real to you, your faith in it is more, right? If I can see a book, I have more faith in, this is a book I can read, you know, I have more faith. Even if I need to throw it at someone, I have more faith because I can see it. It's real. That's why I can even think of what I can do with it. Do you see? So that's how it is with faith. As you hear more, God becomes more real to you. And we say, Bishop is saying that you do not need to listen to a message on faith to have faith. Yes, message of faith will teach you about faith, but we're not talking about just hearing specific messages about specific subjects, but we're talking about being exposed to the Word of God. The Word of God is God. That's the main thing. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word was God. The Word was God. So if the Word is God, then interacting with the Word is interacting with God. That's how come preaching changes lives. That's how come preaching changes life. It's not listening to a man speak that changes your life. But it is that preaching, what you're listening to is what is changing your life. Because if it's about listening to a man speak that changes our lives, then just watching the news on CNN should change your life. But that's not what it is. It is listening to the Word of God, listening to the Word of God that changes people's lives. And you can see people are, you know, the police is not able to get people to stop doing certain things. But the Word of God is able to make them stop doing those same things. Someone goes to church, a place like church, a place filled with pews and instruments and preaching. You see, preaching. And as the person keeps going to church, you find themselves waking up spiritually. You find themselves becoming more and more conscious about God and about themselves and about the environment and about the things they are doing. And you find a certain awakening that comes and that evolves in a person. I don't know. I can't explain it to you. But the truth is that preaching changes lives. Preaching changes lives. Yes.
Amen.
And there are many people in the service today who will testify to you that preaching has changed their lives. I don't know if you have that testimony from the First Love service this morning. There was a lady, a Father's Day testimonies. You know, maybe LP Michelle, you can find it. I don't know where you look, but just find it somewhere. And at the end of the service, you can hear that testimony. You see how hearing the Word of God has changed somebody's life. I tell you, if you're tired of the life you have now, I recommend listening to preaching. It will change you. It will change you. And it will change you, of course, for the better, right? Any kind of spiritual interaction makes you close to God. The closer you are to God and the more real He is to you, the more you believe in Him. You must train yourself in the habit of listening to preaching. He says, I can see ministers of the gospel who are so dry and lifeless because they do not expose themselves to the hearing of the Word. We're talking about people who preach and people who share. And sometimes you find the reason why you don't have anything to share with anyone is because you are dry. You're dry because you don't listen to preaching. You see, but if you listen to preaching, you will always have something in your spirit to give to someone, right? So this great habit of listening to the preaching will transform your very life. Faith giants are created by hearing. Hallelujah. Now, finally,
amen.
What do you listen to? Who should you listen to? Assemble for yourself a large collection of preaching materials. Okay. So, like I said, get that resource, right? You get it because it's available now. Nobody knows what will happen tomorrow. But it's available now. You get it. There is a way to get it. If you're struggling with it, just give any of the pastors a call and the pastor will help you. Someone will help you. LPAC is available and she will help you and get you on your device or, you know, something this is a day of devices. You know, if you don't have a device, you're missing out in life. And so get yourself some device. You know, devices are really cheap now. And someone showed me a trick that you can get, what do you call it, refurbished devices for next to nothing. Do you see? Yes. And a refurbished device is good. It's good because it has lived once before and its mistakes have been corrected. Do you see what I'm saying? So sometimes even the better device to buy is the refurbished one because it's been fixed. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. And you pay less for it too. Okay. So get one and someone will help you to put or load it with messages, right? Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to what you must listen to, right? Especially in this environment where there's so much to listen to, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. Pray about it and ask God, guide me to a message. Guide me, show me what to listen to. And when you start listening to it, you'll be surprised at what you hear and you will know you made the right choice because the Holy Spirit led you. You must always listen to people whom you believe are great, right? You must follow people who you genuinely think are great people. Notice what Jesus thought about John the Baptist. Jesus spoke about John the Baptist when his disciples were not there. John the Baptist's disciples were not there. And Jesus was sharing his honest opinion about John the Baptist. You know, it says his heartfelt opinion of John the Baptist was that he was the greatest prophet ever. You must always listen to people you feel are really the greatest. Those are the people you must listen to. Right? And the verse is Luke chapter 7 and verse 24. You see Jesus talking about John the Baptist, but let me just go on. It says, when choosing whom to listen to, you must look for those who have the anointing remaining on their lives. Right? When you're choosing whom to listen to, you must look for those who have the anointing remaining on their lives. Today, a lot of people claim to be anointed, right? You must look at those on whom the anointing has stayed for some years, right? John the Baptist was told whom to notice and whom to listen to, right? He was told to look out for someone on whom the anointing has remained. It's important. It's important that we listen to people who have stayed anointed for a long time. Right? There are many people who start out in ministry, but they do not last, right? They seem to be anointed for a short while, and then they cause a great stir, and then soon they are no more, right? But there are people who have also preached the word with integrity for many, many years. Of course, I'll recommend our own pastor who has preached the word of God for many, 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 many years, many, many, many years. And, you know, he tells a story about how he used to listen to Benny Hinn and he didn't understand Benny Hinn. You see, so if you don't understand his messages or maybe you don't feel so blessed by his messages or whatever, it's possible. Do you see? It is possible. But because he himself said that he used to listen to Benny Hinn's messages and he couldn't get it. What is the man saying? You know, but the good thing he did, which is what I want to recommend that you do, is that he continued to listen to him anyway. Because he saw him as an anointed man of God. He saw it from his works. He saw the things, the miracles and everything that God had used him to do. And he knew that there's greatness in this person somehow. And if I can relate with it, the fault must be me, not him. But there's something great here. And so he kept himself exposed to Benny Hinn and he kept listening to him and kept. Then all of a sudden, one day he realized he could understand him. Somehow his ears popped. The spiritual deafness just disappeared. And suddenly the messages of Benny Hinn started making sense to him. He couldn't get enough of it. Listen to it. Listen to the messages. Apply it to yourself. It's like reading a chapter you don't understand. You know, just keep reading. You just study it. Just study it. You'll be surprised that eventually it will come home. It will come home. And God will break it down to you. You can pray about it. Say, Lord, I want to understand these messages. I want to understand these messages. Because when God, if we were all at a table, how would you know which one is your food? The one that's set before you is the one that's your food. The plate that's in front of you, the chicken drumstick they put on the plate in front of you, that's the one that's yours. Do you understand? Which means proximity is an element in determining what God has given to you. Do you see? So the pastor that's in front of you, the pastor you have, the one whose messages you have easy access to, the one whose messages are being presented to you even for free as I'm speaking. You see, because as I'm speaking, there are so many other preachers in America, but none of them is offering you their messages for free. You get it? So imagine yourself, you are at a feast, you are at a table, and we are sharing the chicken, and this is the one that has landed on your table. Now, the reason why you might go hungry is because you are skipping the one on your plate, and you are looking across the table, looking at the one on someone else's plate, and they are not about to give it to you. Do you see? That's the reason why you might go hungry, even though you are sitting at the table. But if you will be humble, I mean humility, if you will be humble, you get it? Instead of being judgmental and instead of being proud and instead of being haughty and lifted up, if you be humble and accept what is in front of you and be patient and patiently work with it and apply yourself to it, you will be surprised what a treasure has been placed right before you. Okay, so I really want to encourage you, right? And the final verse is John chapter 1 and verse 33, that's where we see John the Baptist, you know, and the recommendation for who he should listen to. He said, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descend and remaining on him, the same is he that baptizeth with the Holy Spirit, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. That's why I'm saying that you need someone who has been anointed for a long time, someone who has been consistent, someone who has integrity, someone who has a proven ministry, right? Someone whose messages have proven results. To listen to such a person, as we have listened to him through the years, we have become pastors. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that some of us have become pastors just from listening to him? You know, if you think that I'm a pastor and a good enough pastor to listen to, and I think you think so because you've been listening to me since I started and you're still here, right? So I am guessing that you think I am worth listening to. Then I'm telling you how I became a pastor. And I became a pastor from listening to messages and listening to messages. They will change your life. You will be surprised at what will come out of this life you have, right? So, ladies and gentlemen, I think that's all that time will allow for today. God bless you and let us pray. Bow your heads with me. And let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for what you have taught us. I pray that the Holy Spirit will brood over today's message and let it enter our hearts and let it produce and yield obedience in us in the name of Jesus. I pray for all who have heard this message that, Lord, you will bless them with the grace and humility to at least consider trying the things we have shared just for their own good. Thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Now, before we close, I want to give you an opportunity. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, here is an opportunity to be saved, an opportunity to be a genuine Christian, an opportunity to be a Christian, not by birth, not by church membership, but by praying and asking Jesus to come into your life. And so I want to ask you to do that right now with me by saying this prayer after me. Everybody join us as we say this prayer. Just speak faster, okay? Just speak 1 second faster, just so we can get through it quickly, all right? So everybody say with me, say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for dying for me.
I thank you for dying for me.
I believe with my heart.
I believe with my heart
that you died for my sin.
That you died for my sins.
And there is salvation in no other name.
And there's salvation in no other name.
Except in your name.
Except in your name.
So Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
He's coming to my heart.
Come into my heart.
Forgive my sins, Lord.
Forgive my sins, Lord.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
And let your blood cleanse me.
And make me a child of God.
And make me a child of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For hearing my prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Powerful. Now, if you said that prayer and you meant it, Jesus has come into your heart as he promised, and you will never be the same again. I want to invite you to send us a text on this message, the message you see on your screen right now. Just send us a text message or call, and someone will help you. We have a little book that we'd like to give to you for free. The title of the book is How to be born again and avoid hell. I am very sure you'd like to avoid hell. And so please just text us and we'll send one of those to you. God bless you for coming, and God bless you for being in the service. Now let's go to our communion. Let's have communion. If you will take your bread with me, and we're going to pray. Take your bread with me. We're going to pray over the communion. Thank you, Lord. Father, go ahead. Let's join.
Father, thank you for the blessing. As we come before the holy table, we take the bread, Lord. We lift it up. Isaiah said, "Here am I. Send me." And Jesus said, "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." Lord, as we partake of this holy bread, may that spirit of humility that says, "Here am I, send me," that spirit of humility that was in Christ, that said, "As my Father sent me to this terrible, horrible people, so I send you also to such people." Lord, as we partake of this bread, may the character of Christ be our character from now. Whatever is of the seed of the serpent, let it be wiped out, and a new character come into our hearts and our lives. Thank you for the body of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus.
Body of Jesus.
Now take the blood. When I see the blood,
when I see the blood, oh yeah, I will pass over you.
When I see the blood, answers answers all the questions about why we are here and whether we should be allowed to be here after what we have done wrong and how far we have fallen from your ways. Lord, as we lift up the blood, let our past mistakes and our past wretchedness be buried forever. Even the memory, as far as the east is from the west, let the memories go. Give us new memories. Give us something better to think about. Thank you for the holiness of your holy presence. Let it descend upon us. Purge our iniquities. We ask and we thank you. The blood of the Lamb of God, the blood of Jesus. Lift your hands for your blessing in your house. Father, I pray for healing and recovery from what is lost. Lord, as we have not been kind to people, we pray for mercy, that you be kind to us. We don't deserve kindness, but we lift our hands and we say, let kindness be shown. Let loving favor turn into our direction. May the face of the Lord shine over you and his loving favor choose you. As Mary was chosen divinely, may you be chosen. A year of being chosen, a season of being chosen by the Father which is in heaven. Whatever someone has used against you to exclude you, that you may not be chosen and that you may not be part of the great selection, the great feast, may the blood of Jesus wipe away those reasons, and may the blood that speaks better things speak on your behalf. Yes. And justify your inclusion.
Yes. Oh.
Lift your hand and I see the word justified inclusion. Your inclusion shall be justified, not by your works, but by his blood and his payment that he has paid for you, for your inclusion. May your inclusion be justified by the blood of the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, any power or wind of exclusion that blows to exclude you and throw you away is turned around right now. It's turned into a whirlwind that goes up. You have escaped the wind, the east wind that came to blow you away. Everyone that is ill-favored and lean is turned into a fat and flourishing person today. I command and I speak to whatever is a skeleton, whatever is near to die, revive, revive, be healed. I prophesy to the bones, to the flesh, and I say, be fat again, be blessed again. Let the blessing of the Lord cover you and cover your shame. Nasafu raba, masuba raba, tabile bara, badosa balabara. Loving favor, loving kindness is released and poured upon you from this day. Let loving favor, justified inclusion, justify your inclusion by the blood. Let it be your portion. Every exclusion is ended in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for healing. Receive healing of every viral condition, every strange diagnosis, every cancer, every pain, every painfulness, every disease, every connective tissue disorder, every eye condition, every ear condition, every heart disease, liver disease, kidney disease, stomach disease, every strange disease requiring operations, requiring multiple surgeries, we command and declare mercy and healing. Ada fora mandala to fall into the houses. Mercies, Lord, mercies, extension of days, extension of years, extension of life, prolongation of days. We ask for it by the mercies of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Receive your supernatural recovery. Whatever ran away from you, I command it to come back to you. Whatever escaped from the house, I say, return, return, oh you, you belong here. It is coming back to you. It has been commanded to return, so it shall return. Matoda, 1,000 times more shall be your portion. Be blessed with mysteries, the mysterious blessing. And now lay your hand on your eyes. Whatever sign God shows you, even as a sign of swaddling clothes in a manger, may you from today begin to detect and to see the signs of the Lord. May you no longer be called blind, insensitive, unable to pick out the signs of the Lord. Receive grace and the spirit of revelation to pick out divine signs and indications and indicators from the Lord. From today, no one can call you blind or spiritually insensitive. Receive grace, receive help, receive supernatural power engulfing you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this blessing. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.